morning. Good morning, everybody. We're all here at this end of the Australia Day weekend with all the significance of that for in many different ways. So we're going to start with a welcome to country. Perhaps we should think about us being welcomed to country at some point, I think. So, we acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri Woi Wurrung and Bunurong peoples of the Kulin Nation, and their stewardship of these lands since time immemorial. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging. We acknowledge that sovereignty of these lands and waters has never been ceded. We acknowledge the disruption and dispossession that began with the arrival of the First Fleet on January the 26th, 1788. We hear the call, and let us hear the call, to walk softly and gently upon these lands and respond to the invitation to reconciliation. May our ears and eyes and lives be open to that in however that manifests. And we're going to welcome to worship, and we're going to have a responsive reading. And I'd like you all to read in the bold. Our theme today is about hearing the voice of God in our lives. So we'll just read this together. By this I have known the presence of the Lord, in the rising of the sun, in the smile of another's face, in the touch of a hand or the sound of a laugh, in the scent of a flower, holding the promise of spring. By this I have known the power of the Lord,
in the healing of hurts, in the forgiveness of sin,
in the giving of gifts beyond all expectation,
in the shower of love that comes from God's Son.
Let us give thanks to the Lord with all of our heart. Let us worship our God, whose presence and power endures forever. And our first song, and thanks that Austin's doing music for us this morning, which is wonderful. We're going to stand to sing together, A Voice is Heard. Just light the candle, just as a reminder of the quiet, still presence of God in our lives. often think it's interesting watching a candle start. The flame often isn't very strong, but it's there. It's time for community news. So has anyone, and welcome everybody, and anyone who's new to our community this morning, welcome, and we have morning tea together afterwards. So welcome everybody. Anyone with news?
Morning, in case you don't get the messenger or haven't had your email read, stay in touch, yes, thank you. The Clean Up Australia Day this year is on the 3rd of March, Sunday, but I've created a group for people who are interested in helping out around the church area from Francis Street to Somerville Road, depending how numbers we get, on the Saturday, the 2nd of March, between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. to come here, collect a bag, gloves, and get allocated the sub streets and just wander around, pick up rubbish and give a hand. Although if you can't make it that day, every day of the year is an opportunity to go for a walk and take a bag and collect and make money. Now you can get 10 cents for a can and a thing and you get rewarded. Okay, so yeah. Yes. It is also an opportunity to engage with other people who might join. I had a few years back when I advertised, other people in the neighborhood came and gave a hand. So to meet and people of same mind. Thank you.
Just a quick reminder of the community meal tomorrow at 6 p.m. and encourage you to be there. Anne tested positive for COVID this morning. So she's not feeling fantastic, so she won't be there. But we'll still be on board. The Korean community are actually cooking tomorrow night. Mark has by himself already done the pickup this morning. So we're all organised. So I hope you can be there and make that connection with people at 6 p.m. Tomorrow night. And don't forget, too, on Monday afternoons, there's a small group that do some really wonderful work in the garden out here and in the nursery out the back. And I'm sure Chris would love to hear from you if you would like to participate that in a Monday afternoon.
At the last community meeting, the community was asked whether they endorsed the meals on the Monday night and also mainly music. And I don't think there was a no, so we took that as yes, as we saw last week when I think there were 41 people at the meal, which was fantastic. So mainly music, we've taken that as a yes, that the church community is supporting it. Last year there was Nev, myself, Ruth, who we've engaged for an additional year, Leslie, John and Ernest. But we could do with some extras. So already I've been getting some queries from people that have been on the Mainly Music website or our website and have seen it. And so if you're interested, we would love to talk with you. You're committing for 2 hours. And so that's 9 o'clock till 11 o'clock. And there's an hour of program in that middle. And it's a really lovely time. So, think about it. You're not signing up for life. If circumstances change, we'll give you a pass. But if you're interested, would really love to, you know, to talk with you. There we go.
Comes with good free coffee too.
Ernest drives the coffee and morning tea, so he looks after us. So we're going to start next Thursday because school starts this coming week. And so on this Thursday, we're going to meet together as a team at 9:30 just to reconnect and, you know, plan for the year. And then the following Thursday, we kick off.
Good. We're going to have another song now. Prayer of St. Francis. I think people may well know this one. Again, the theme of thinking about how the life of God flows through us and how we can look to see and recognise God. So let's again stand together to sing this one.
channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me be your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. Where there's doubt, true faith in you. Oh, Master, grant that I may unseen. So much to be consoled as to
Austin. We got the last bit out of sync and that's fine. It's now time for the younger people to come out. Any of the kids want to come out here? I've got to talk to you about what we're going to do up the back. So if you'd like to, you could come out here. I've got some things to show you. We're on. Have a g'day. Last week, some seeds were planted. I know somebody who planted some seeds. And, You didn't know, hey? And look, see, they're growing. So one day, we'll have to keep watching these and see what happens week by week. Because although I can't imagine it right now, when I look at those little plants, they're going to turn into big plants that are going to grow capsicums. Now, I can't believe that, but that's what the seed packet said. So, we're going to have to watch each week, aren't we? So, sometimes things take a while to grow and we don't know what the end is from when we start, and seeds are like that. Today, we're thinking about how we hear God's voice. And we're also thinking about what does that mean for us? Sometimes when we read the Bible through, there might be a little bit of something. Sometimes a sentence might pop out and thinking, wow, that's interesting. And some of those little sentences, some of those little verses become things that we that remind us about how God fits in our life. One of those verses is a little tiny verse in a psalm with a lot of verses in it. Psalm 119 has more than 100 verses inside it. It's a very long one. But when you read all the way through, you get to one verse, and it's verse 105. So it's a long way through, and it's a really simple little one. And it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So nowadays, if we want a light at night, we've probably got a light on the wall we can turn on, or maybe a torch, turn on the battery. Sometimes people might have a mobile phone and they click the light button and you have a lot of bright light. Before we had torches, we had light like that, like fire, like candles. And sometimes people made lamps in different shapes. This is one shape of a lamp that's like glass. There would have been a light inside the bottom of, and there was glass around the edge so the wind didn't blow the candle out, so you could use it. And you guys might have seen, you might have made lanterns before around Christmas times. Have you ever made a lantern? Because I'm going to show you something. Up the back, we've got pieces of paper like that that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," and the psalm that it comes from. Now, what we can do is we can turn it into a lamp. We cut out the edges, and we can colour it if we like, and then cut these bits so it goes from that to that, and I'll show you what we do next. And somewhere, I might have left it up here. This bit, okay? So you might need to hold the glue a bit better. But that's a little bit like the kind of lantern that people would have had. It wasn't made of paper because that would burn and that wouldn't be much use. But if it was made of glass like that, you could put a light inside it and carry it with you, and it will be a light to show where you go. So if you would like to today, there's things up the back that you can do. So you can do one of these or any of the colouring things. And if you're really clever with letters, this is like a puzzle. And if you wanted to remember this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," that's a bit tricky because it goes YWIALFMFALOMP. So if you wanted to do something to see if you can use a trick to try and remember that off by heart, you could as well. It's just like a puzzly thing. If you wanted to, you could do that. So you can go and do them during the rest of what's happening today. And I think it's one of those things as us, part of as we go through life, we try to think, how does God show us how to go? How do we find out about God? How do we understand that God's word is like a way to show us where to go? And that's the thing about life, that we all are learning together. It doesn't matter how old we are. We're still trying to work out how God shows us where we go each day and where we go. Okay, so there's some things that you can do. Okay, up the back, there's all the things you need. Okay. You can take that one back if you want as a demo. You want to bring it back there, it can show you, remind you how to do it. Okay, there's glue up the back. We're now going to have a reading. And Jason's going to bring it. Thank you.
Okay, this morning's reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Moses said to the people, "The Lord your God will raise up someone from among you to be a prophet for you. This prophet will be from the same mould as me, and you are to carefully follow what such a prophet says. You yourselves asked the Lord your God to do this for you. Back on the day when we gathered at Mount Sinai, you all said that you would die if you were ever again directly exposed to the sound of the Lord's voice or the glare of the Lord's fiery presence. The Lord told me you were right and said this to me, 'I, the Lord, will raise up someone from among your own people to be a prophet for them. This prophet will be from the same mould as you, Moses. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, and the prophet will tell the people everything I say they are to be told. Anyone who does not take any notice of what the prophet says on my behalf will have to answer to me. But by the same token, if any prophet claims to represent some other source of truth, or makes out that they are speaking on my behalf when I have not told them to say anything, such a prophet must die.'" So reads the Word of God.
Thank you. Interesting words for us. Never might unpack them for us later. We're going to sing another song, Breath of God, and as we sing that, we'll give our gifts to God. For those of you who aren't doing direct debiting and would like to give something, we'll pass the plate at that time. So let's stand together and we'll sing this through maybe three times just to sing it through.
Song of me, breath of God.
Can we sing this verse now, blow through us, breath of God, just recognising that we are the community of God's people here, or part of the community of God's people in this place. And it's about our prayer for our offerings and the work of God here.
Blow through us, breath of God. Blow through us, like a pipe, like a flute, like a reed making melody. The cosmic song in me is breath of God.
One more time.
Let's share together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, that is what we long for, that the life of Christ, your Spirit, would blow through us, that our lives would bear the fruit, would reflect the melody of you at work in this world, in our lives, in our community. And this morning, we ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, Lord, would be acceptable in your sight, because you are our rock and you are our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen. We can't help but read the end of that passage in Deuteronomy and just be a little bit scared if you ever felt the prophetic calling. Put them to death if they get it wrong. I can remember when I first spoke to my father about the possibility of pastoral ministry. And I'd been doing aeronautical engineering, which he was a design engineer. He was very happy with that. And then I said, I felt this sense of call to begin study and to do pastoral ministry. And Dad was a man of very few words, only gave me advice about twice or three times in my life. This was one of the occasions. And it was, if you can do anything else, do it. So he wasn't saying no, he just meant it's not the thing that you want to do lightly. And I wonder this morning if you're coming with some sense of longing to have a connection, to actually hear from God, to hear from the divine. I wonder if you're longing that somehow God might actually break through some of the fog of the daily routine, the places where you work, the places where you live, the connections that you have in the community and with your family, that God would break through this fog like the morning sun, and there would be a sense that God is in fact illuminating the path before you. I wonder if we, and I ask this question of myself, do we approach God and the scripture and our church and our faith community with an expectation that God somehow might actually show up? That the very thing that the recipients of this message in Deuteronomy were somewhat afraid of, that somehow the divine was just too much if he did in fact show up. But in some way that we might hear and discern the voice of God in our lives. I wonder this morning if you've actually come with a sense of anticipation or expectation that God might actually do that. Do we come with a hunger for encounter? And that's really the question that I want to pose at the beginning of this 2024. A kind of a spiritual health checkup. Asking this question of ourselves. Now, I know that sometimes there is a lot of inertia imposing this question, because often embedded within the trials and the challenges and the experiences that I think many of us have gone through, we can become somewhat cynical, particularly about how do we hear God's voice and those who profess to proclaim God's voice. I wonder if we would actually be shocked if there was a sense of the divine presence. And if not, why not? I think some of us are deeply, and like I said, there's often quite good reason to be sceptical of authority of religious claims. And many of us have good reason to be jaded when it comes to hearing God's word, as we've been hurt by authority figures that we trusted. I don't know if you read, there was a report in The Guardian this week of a Colorado pastor and his wife who have been charged with duping hundreds of local Christians in a multi-million dollar cryptocurrency scheme. So the prosecutor accused the pastor and his wife of fraudulently raising $3 million US by selling practically worthless crypto. In what can only be described as divine provision, the couple made at least $1.3 million in the process. The pastor said that he was inspired by God. God told me directly that the investors would become wealthy. And not surprisingly, the couple used their funds for a very nice lifestyle, including the Range Rover and luxury handbags, jewelry, boat rental, snowmobiles, and all the other adventures. Everyone else went broke. So, David, I wonder if it's not too late to revise the 2024 budget, because have I got a plan for Westgate? So the question is, how do we discern the truth? How do we know that we've actually heard God's word? Our last Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is about to release his pastoral memoir called Plans for Your Good, based on Jeremiah 29:11, and with a foreword from the US Vice President Mike Spence. Scott will unpack the miracle win of 2019 election and give you tips on how you can access the many blessings of God in your life. How do we know when it's actually God speaking? If you're really, really brave, I was going to do it here this morning, but it's just too confronting. The messiah of the mega movement in US politics, who's got 94 counts, indictments against him and convicted of rape and defrauding, there's a new video proclaiming that God gave us Trump. Just Google that, God gave us Trump. It's a new promotional video, and it's enough to really ruin your day. But people will proclaim that they either have or they're offering to us the word of God. So no doubt, and for good reason, there's a fair degree of scepticism sometimes when it even comes to, can I hear the word of God? Do I come with any real expectation that I might? This reading from Deuteronomy this week from the lectionary raises the question that is obvious, that's urgent, that's devilishly difficult, and it is as relevant today as when it was first asked 3,000 years ago. Can we know when a message has or has not been spoken by the Lord? And plenty of people today claim to speak in God's name and to know the divine mind. So consider a few examples at the moment. Hamas and Hezbollah, which literally is party of God, would believe that it's God's will to annihilate Israel. At the same time, there's an assault on Gaza that's just been deemed a genocide by an international court, and yet Israel claims divine right over lands they repossess. Where is the mind of God in all of this? From the medieval crusades, whether it was genocide, forced conversions, butchery, all equally claimed to be the works of God. The church, over its history, has justified and sanctified these crusades. They've even canonised them as meritorious deeds that earned one the remission of sins and eternal salvation. And the list goes on and goes on. Violence claiming God's support is depressingly long, not to mention all the God talk that is merely idiotic and insipid. And I'm sure you've got all your own experiences of that. And so I think this is a really relevant question we have here in Deuteronomy 18. How can we know when the message has been truly spoken by the Lord? And is this important? Given these realities, can we still leave room for the Spirit of Christ to show up and to actually surprise us and to encounter us when we come here? How can we make sure we're not so entrenched in our theological or our liturgical or our cultural or our political points of view that we either fear or resist the new? And these are especially hard questions to ask if we've been Christians for a long time. Sometimes the new becomes old, the fresh becomes familiar. The heart settles down for a comfortable and unvarying long haul, and we forget that Jesus came, that Jesus comes to make all things new. So according to Deuteronomy 18:15-20, prophets were a gift from God to the people who needed to hear what God had to say. And the people were too scared to hear the sound of the divine voice directly. So to enable the communication to continue, God promised a prophet like Moses who would act as the mouthpiece of God. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to the people everything that I command. The authentic word of God is sometimes quite difficult to discern, particularly when there are competing messages. The admonition in verse 20 highlights the problem of the false prophet. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded to speak, that prophet shall die. Ouch. The price of prophesying falsely is clearly articulated. But how, as recipients of a false message, are we to know that the message is actually not of God? Verse 22 presents one technique by which to separate the true prophet from the false. If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is the word of the Lord. It is the word the Lord has not spoken. Now, there's a limitation to this method, and that's because you can only actually see it in retrospect. They've said the word, you've sort of seen some fulfillment, or it's landed in some way in such a way that you know it to be true or you know it to be false. The problem is how to decide what is the true word of God in this moment. And often we're asking that, what is God saying to me now in this moment when I need to hear from God, when it matters, and when the matters are pressing, and when choices need to be made, or I'm feeling the uncertainties of life and the challenges that I face. And when you look back in the Old Testament at the prophets that God raised up throughout the history of Israel, the problem was that the words of the true prophets, so this is when God is really speaking, the prophets who are the true ones, were quite often the last thing that the people and the kings and the religious leaders actually wanted to hear. I wonder if that's ever true for us. Sometimes will we get an inkling that, in fact, God might be saying something new to us, but it's uncomfortable, it challenges us, it questions our lifestyle, it invites us to change. It invites us to reflect more deeply upon our life and upon our practices. And that was certainly the challenges of the prophets that were telling the word of God. Unfortunately, most people and communities have a hard time hearing the words that demand a drastic change of belief or practice. And so our tendency is to ignore such words or to dismiss them. So already we're finding that there are layers upon layers of difficulty before us in an effort to discern the word of God in our midst. And yet the task is of the utmost importance because it is life. It is a light to our path. It helps us in fact, the way in which we live and walk. Jesus was, among other things, the fulfillment of the prophecy in Deuteronomy 18, that there would come another prophet like Moses who would arise from the Israelites and speak truthfully the words of the Lord. Remember when they approached John the Baptist and they said, "Are you the prophet? Are you the one that's been promised? Are you the one that we're meant to be looking and listening to?" And he didn't claim to be that prophet. Jesus, on the other hand, fulfills the requirement to only speak what he heard from God when he said, "I did not speak on my own, but only what I was commanded to say by the Father." And that historically was what happened when prophets were speaking. As you read through the Old Testament, they confronted authorities, they criticized the elite, and it was no different from John the Baptist. And it's no different sometimes for those who have that prophetic gift and speak the word of God into the lives of injustice today. Even today, those who speak truth to power and call for justice are imprisoned, they're tortured, they're killed by governments and world leaders everywhere. These leaders often have support from among the nation's religious leaders and people. And you remember that Jesus summarized the law and the prophets when he said that we were to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That this is the center and the heart of the law. And it was Jesus himself in Matthew 7, he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do not pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles." When we listen to God's word in our lives, does it bring good news? Does it bring good news to the poor? Does it free the prisoner? Does it liberate the oppressed? Does it mistreat strangers? Does it deport the migrant? Does it turn away the refugee? What fruit is being produced in our lives by the things that we listen to? Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 20 provides a valuable guidance for us as we seek to discern if we are hearing from God. In this passage, Moses speaks to the Israelites, promising them a prophet like himself whom they should listen to. The foundation of discernment lies in knowing and understanding God's word, just as the Israelites were instructed to listen to the prophets like Moses. Christians are called to immerse themselves in the life, in the teaching, and the instructions of Jesus. Any message claiming to be from God must align with these teachings of Jesus. God's character, principles, and values are revealed in Christ. And so a message that contradicts or deviates from the example of his sacrificial love and service should be approached with genuine caution. We know that there's a smorgasbord of people and YouTube videos to watch who proclaim to speak the word of God, yet all too often they promote personality, they promote cults, simplistic formulas, and authoritarian appeals. In the New Testament, Jesus emphasized the importance of evaluating the fruit of a prophet or message. If a message or guideline leads to love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and long-suffering and self-control, it's more likely aligned with God's will. And for centuries, Christian saints have engaged in a discernment process. And these processes were often accompanied by prayer, by reflection, by meditation. And James 1:5 encourages believers to ask God for wisdom, seeking God's guidance in prayer. It helps to open the heart and our minds to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. Praying for and discernment allows us to rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance and understanding. So my encouragement as we embrace the beginning of 2024 is to have an expectation that God, in fact, wants to engage us, connect with us. And for us to be open to hearing something that may not always seem easy. As Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. In other words, are we teachable? Are we open? Are we willing to hear what God has to say, even sometimes when it's challenging? Are we willing to have a listening and discerning spirit? Are we willing to cultivate a discerning spirit? And God often speaks in the still, small voice. So cultivate a quiet and receptive heart. Why don't we practice some of the disciplines of silence and solitude and meditation where we can enhance our ability to discern God's guidance? In the language of 1 John 4:1, we have to test the spirits. And Deuteronomy 18:15-20 reminds us of the importance of listening to the prophets like Moses. And I believe for us today, this involves attentiveness to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the light of the teachings of Jesus Christ as revealed in the scripture. An uncritical acceptance of our own ideas, uncritical acceptance of our own impulses and inclinations, along with all sorts of overzealous piety, are sure signs that spirituality can run amok. And Jesus repeatedly warned that many would come in his name who were false prophets, blind guides and hypocrites. Watch out, he said. Be warned. Be on your guard. Paul warned the early church about savage wolves, false prophets, depraved conduct, pseudo-apostles who destroyed the gospel for dishonest gain. I believe that God still speaks today. But given the cacophony of religious voices, ranging from the terrifying to the godly, hearing what he says demands that we incorporate into our lives an open, engaged, discerning spirit where God and God's Spirit can speak through the quiet, attentive observation of and listening to the authentic voice of Jesus. Because it was Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice." So I'll ask you again. Do you approach Scripture? Do you approach in this community of faith an expectation that God might just show up? That in some way you might hear and discern the voice of God in your life in 2024? Do you come with a sense of anticipation, with a hunger for encounter? So I pray that we may all be expectant today and tomorrow to encounter the divine, that God in mystery and in love can speak into our life, that through the gifts of the scripture text, the teachings and the life of Jesus, the presence of God's living spirit and the disciplines of waiting and silence, of prayer, of fasting, God still speaks. Yes, this will mean the need to test the spirits. We will need discernment to see the fruit of these words. We will need to have the courage to hear the word of God. And in 2024, may we be bold enough to say and to speak, God, your servant is indeed listening. Amen.
Thanks, Neville. We're going to have a time of prayer now, and I think it's a good time to be quiet and reflective. I'm just going to put this up. So I'm just going to invite us to sit where we are and to open our hearts and to God in a conscious way, and to bring our concerns, our thanks, our reflections, our questions. If we think about the world, For lots of people, it's a pretty horrible place right now. Lots of people are having a really, really hard time in many, many places, and we see so much of that from our very safe place here. So let's bring our prayers to God for whatever is there rising up in concerns within us. And I invite you, if you wish to come forward as part of that. And I think the symbol of us lighting a candle from that light there is part of that prayer that God may be in the world, in the difficult places and in our lives, in those places. So let's just come and have a time of prayer together and bring those things to God that we need to. We bring all of these prayers to God, aware of how little we see and how much, but the glimpse that we know and that we see gives us hope. And may our hope for God in the world continue to grow as a flame. And as we go into the morning tea and the world and the week, we're going to sing together a very simple song. Father, bless us as we go. Jesus, walk beside us. Holy Spirit, guide us. And we'll maybe sing that three times together. And that be part of the prayer that we bring as well. Thank you, Austin, because music is a powerful thing in our lives, and it's been wonderful to have you with leading us. Thank you. Let's go together into the world and enjoy morning tea together right now.